You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
Are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a great day today. Hope you're going to get a chance at all the things you should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it must be done, it has to get done, you will get it done. Right on. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And of course, you can always just go to your, you know, whatever you use as a search engine, and what is Google or whatever. Just put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and once again, those programs will be there for you. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays from 8 to 9, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamal Kamban, Dr. Mawia Kamban, and Nataki Kamban. From 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Tuesdays, had a great program last night. I was listening, talking about the East and Baba G2 Wausi, man, a great man. Yeah. And on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. Black Farmers Report is on today, this evening, at 8 p.m. from 8 to 9. And then Fridays at 8 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American and African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. On one of the radio stations, I heard a promo for We Buy Black, and of course, trying to get brothers and sisters to donate so they can create the supermarket here in Atlanta, which should have been done. Man, it is, and so I'm gonna try to reach out. I did talk to one brother who I thought would be a source for to come on to the program and talk to me. He said he is not. He basically just does promotions, so I don't know. But I'm going to try to get somebody from WeBuyBlack.com because this is, we need to promote this. We need to make this happen. This is such a win-win for our people, for our community, to have WeBuyBlack.com have a supermarket and for the growers, the farmers, and so forth to sell their produce in that supermarket for all the other products that are sold and produced by us to be in that market.
our jobs, for our children. I mean, and then we duplicate this in other major cities where we are in those communities. This has to be done. This is all a part of what I constantly talk about. So, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. My good brother Bomani Tahemba will be with me shortly. Africa for the Africans. I just want to say, because he will take up a lot of this information, that, you know, he has done an outstanding job. Please go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and look at the upcoming trips, all the other information, everything you need to make a trip of a lifetime is there. Also to promoting the to buy land and to reinvest and to repatriate in the Pan-African community that is being developed in Ghana. So, I mean, we're going to have an exciting program today. So right away, if you want to jump on Facebook.com/Bomani, you'll see pictures. Facebook.com/Bomani, you'll see pictures. YouTube.com, you'll see videos. YouTube.com/Bomani2007. So looking forward to my conversation with my brother Bomani Tahemba. Habesha, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Brothers and sisters, Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Brothers and sisters, go to HabeshaIncorporated.org and you'll see what they are doing locally and in Ghana with the Kashi Project. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Program, Brother Nkosi, I talked with him the other day, and he's doing a program and a project in Zambia, and the Ledge is still doing their thing in various countries. They deal with the four elements of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries, employing over 170, and over 260 brothers and sisters are members. Become a member of Ledge, and you too, if you are a member, can buy land. That's right, you can buy land in Tanzania. You can buy land in Tanzania. So, the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Abibia Tumi. ABIBITUMI.com, ABIBITUMI.com. Something's been happening with their website. I had that up, and now when I come back to it, it's acting funky. Okay, well, and it says wait. So, I don't know. But, yeah, here we go. I always like to read this and let you know what ABIBITUMI is about and how strong this, you know, because they go to ABIBITUMI.com, you know, make it a favorite for shopping and events and forums and all kind of good stuff. ABIBITUMI, the brothers and sisters at ABIBITUMI, outstanding. Smai Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. Smai Pharmacy, brothers and sisters, you can contact Brother Jabril at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. Smy Pharmacy. Or if you want to drop him an email, Smy Pharmacy is SMAIFARMACY at gmail.com. That's SMAIFARMACY. At gmail.com. Smy Pharmacy, brothers and sisters. Check it out. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End and here in Atlanta, offering delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and juices and all kinds of good stuff, pastries and soups. Yeah, and on weekends, Saturday and Sunday, vegan food that you can buy, vegan dinner that you can buy. So that's Wadada's, located right across the street, right in the West End. I'm Ralph Dibbitt Abernathy, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Yep, that's Wadada's, Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, please check her out. Go online to the Medu Bookstore you know, at Comcast, Medu Bookstore, the Medu Bookstore and more. The Medu Bookstore and more at Comcast.net. And you can give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. She has the finest selections of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My other bookstore I promoted, of course, is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia. Give Brother Gazende Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. There is light in the Black Dot. And my good brother with Afroletics, that's athletic wear with African-centered themes like the Dogon Starseed, the Moors, the Olmecs, the Zulus, the Herus. Yeah, yes, it's really good, man. Really quality stuff, too. So check them out. They have it. The store is in the new Black Wall Street Market, located in Stonecrest, right off of I-20. So if you're in Atlanta, you go I-20 East, going towards Augusta. And, of course, you're going to pass Lithonia. And you're going to get off at Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights. Make a right right there, and there will be on the left. It was a Target store that's been converted to the new Black Wall Street Market. So check it out. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night is on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. If you want to call to listen, or if you have questions, comments, or concerns, just press 1 and you'll be higher up in the queue to make those comments. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us. Homeland Village. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop and so forth. Brother Abijah has so much to offer. If you if you're in the Macon, Georgia area, please visit Brother Abijah at the Homeland Village, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, or give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. I look forward to having my brother on again on the program. Yep. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, give my sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Aidi, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti up in the hill area. And, of course, because of, unfortunately, how Haiti is, she gets no money. She gets no help. She relies on the goodness of all of us who want to help her. And it's a beautiful thing when you see the children, the programs that Sanjay-Aidi has developed. You know, they deal with education, health, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. So check it out. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash, Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I, .org. Sanjay, dash, Haiti. Baba Baruti and Mama Yah, I'll probably be announcing their upcoming programs that they have constantly through the months, always supporting them. Brothers and sisters, you can support the Akabin Institute by making a check or money order out to Akabin Institute. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or you can use PayPal or Cash App. If you use Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. to support the ongoing work to develop the warriors, the Asafo, that we need. Also, too, brothers and sisters, you can go online for the many books that Baba Baruti has. That to Akabin House, akabinhouse.com. He's a prolific writer. akabinhouse.com. The Inye Sesim. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. September 15th. We can run, but we can't hide from the relentless pursuit. We must fight. We must find new ways to heighten our defense mechanisms. We must meditate, eat right, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And we must draw on the energy of our ancestors, the Black Dot. What has been called Negroitis and the Vernon Jordan disease is a state of insanity that erases color. I saw that today on the news this morning. A brother whose family, whose father was born in captivity. You know, he was probably born at the ending of it, but he was born in captivity. He was born. And his father always said, you know, don't punish white folks. Don't punish America. You know, this is, you know, you do well. So he was like 90-something years old, you know. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, shit. What little achievements are weak and pale in comparison to what we could do if we were united. I mean, weak. What an individual does is doesn't count for what could happen for us collectively. And the reason why we are suffering the way we're suffering is because of our lack of functional unity. Bottom line. This is unintelligible because even cognitively colorblind individuals take no pleasure in their impairment. They see no great glory in missing or dismissing in enlightening dimensions of sight. No doubt, some people see colorlessness in humanity because they are truly mentally blind. Having color while trying to be colorless is the most unconscious and cowardly act. Great effort is placed on accomplishing a complete separation of the African from the Africans, as the African is in chronic denial of his or her revolutionary legacy, chooses to be tethered to the European way. Such colorless individuals are known the world over. In some places on the continent, they are devisely called compadres. In others, they are simply called what they are, what they endeavor to become, Caucasians. Europeans, whites, they suffer from the Urugu virus. Here in this society, we normally mark them as Negroes and Negroettes and Oreos and Black Anglo-Saxons and Negropeans and Black whites, Longo-Times, sellouts, and other unmentionables. Traitors. Affirm. I'm African culturally joined to all Africans who are themselves. Affirm, I'm an African culturally joined to all Africans who are themselves. Ashe. Man. February 16th. Life is an eternity throughout all that eternity. An African child has breath. The foul air of cruelty. He has grown up to find that his spirit was crushed before he knew there was a need of it. His ambitions, even in their forming, showed him to have set his hand against his own. This is the dissolution of African life in America. William Greer. Everywhere our children grow up has easy prey. Everywhere our children grow up has easy prey for everyone, yet are brainwashed to pray for everyone. From before birth, they are groomed to be a tribute to Yorugu by those who know that the evil they feed is insatiable. They see that Yorugu smiles at our children like we smile at our food. We forget this when we spoil our children. Most of us are not preparing them for battle. We are preparing them for burial. Our blatant disregard for the future of our children and therefore African people has us in complete denial of the fact that African parents who spoil their children willfully submit themselves to the rule of angry children socialized to arrogantly create and interpret reality through only Yorugu's eyes. A child without discipline is a child without love. And I love that because that's what it is. We need children with discipline. Discipline is self-imposed order. If you don't have discipline, society will impose order on you. That's punishment. So I hate when they say discipline when they mean punishment. Because discipline is what we must have. Discipline. A child without discipline is a child without love. This sacrificial self-hatred must end. We must give them the discipline they need to survive this predatory reality. We have to create and operate truly African-centered nation-building work. We must prepare our children to fight with the will and commitment of those who have always entered the battlefield out of love. Each home must become a priesthood, a shrine cell rigorously dedicated to the production and of thoroughly knowledgeable and deeply committed Asafo, the warriors, the Asafo. Affirm, I guide small, naive, fragile African hands through the cruelty of Yorugu's racist reality. Affirm, I guide small, naive, fragile African hands through the cruelty of Yorugu's racist reality. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. The Inye Sesem. So, we're going to be talking today with Brother Bomani Tayemba. He'll be calling soon. And okay. All right. Brother Bomani's going to be calling from a Skype from on the radio line. So we'll be talking to him. And then those who are on Skype will be able to see him. That's right, brothers and sisters. That's right. So, yeah, because Brother Bomani sent me a lot of information, man. I was like, wow. This brother is, like, doing it, you know? He is really doing it. He is really doing it. He sent me a lot of good information. And he's preparing to help us to repatriate. He's preparing for us to invest. He's preparing those soldiers of and men and women of us who want to contribute to the development of Africa. He's preparing us, and that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. We need that. You know, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, I'm on this radio program, you know, pouring my heart out to tell us what we should do. There's a lot of other subjects I could talk about. But to me, everything else is moot. This is the only subject that really matters for us as a people because we are targeted by Yorugu, by the Europeans, by Caucasians for our extinction. We are targeted by the Chinese, the Arabs, the Indians, the European, and everybody else, it seems, for our land and resources. We are targeted. We have been instilled with the self-hatred that we kill each other. No other group of people on this planet kill each other the way that we do. Nobody. And it doesn't make any difference where we are. We do it. We do it. And everywhere we are, we're shunned, disrespected. You know? Everywhere we are. The only thing that can stop this madness, this insanity, this ignorance, is for us to embrace functional unity for African people. It is the only thing. Everything else, brothers and sisters, no. Everything else, The only thing that will cause us to have the ability to function in a world where we control ourselves is development of a functional unity. That we must, and the only people that are going to do it is us. I saw a piece the other day where, you know, said, we constantly are begging other people, you know, to provide for us. Because of what happened to, that's why I'm saying, I hate what has happened to us by the European. Yes, you damn right. I blame them because they're the ones that did it. But it is our responsibility to get our ass out of it. And the only way we get out of it is that we change our minds. That we release the vice grip that the European has on our minds. That we step outside of the imposed boundaries that he has placed upon us. And we look at them for who and what they are, and not that we challenge them. The hell with them. Is that we challenge each other to love ourselves, to love each other, to have a love for our elders and respect, to have love for our women and our children, and our and a deep reverence for our ancestors and us as a culture. It is culture. You know, when Whoopi Goldberg, she said and was suspended, saying that, you know, I don't understand this thing with, you know, this is, it's not about race, because it's, they white folks and y'all, they white folks. And, oh, Anti-Defamation League got on their ass, all the other European Jews. Oh, it is about, didn't Hitler said he wanted to kill him because he didn't want them to be a part of his master race? The hell, Hitler. There's no such thing as race. It's cultures. Judaism is a religion, just like Islam. Yes, and they say the same thing about Islam in terms of culture, not necessarily as race, but as culture. Europeans, Caucasians, white people, they devised the concept of race and stratifying it, giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. Whoopi was right. She should have stood her ground, but she didn't know the history. And they suspended her ass. I mean, I don't care. You know, looking at Whoopi Goldberg's history. But the bottom line is, you know, when they talk about this is a teachable moment, yeah, it should have been a damn teachable moment to tell you everybody in this damn country there's no such thing as race. It's been made up. Scientists will tell you. And not one damn scientist came on because why? There's a fear. There's fear of the European Jews. My cousin sent me a piece on Facebook, Brother Taggart Scott. And I hope my cousin is doing well. And of the three major cities in the world, I forgot what they call them again. International cities, you know, D.C., the Vatican, because the Vatican is a city in Rome. You know, yeah, and London. London is the financial arm of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, privilege, better known as white supremacy. London is the financial the Vatican is the religious arm of it. And of course, the United States, the DC, is the military arm of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, known as white supremacy. And white supremacy is a global phenomenon. See, they want to get you to think that white supremacy is some crackers, you know, trying to burn crosses and hoods and so forth and marching. And what you're seeing today, what happened in Charlotte. No, white supremacy is the system itself. It's Caucasians in control and domination. It's NATO. It's all of that. That's white supremacy. So I'm still looking for my brother Mamani Dihemba. Brother Mamani?
I'm here, brother.
Is that you, my brother?
Yes, that is me.
All right.
I'm just trying to get a little light here.
Okay, so what you have to do.
Record this thing here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we can hear you clear.
All right, good. I tell you, Brother Mamani, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and I hope that the listening brothers and sisters appreciate all your efforts. All your efforts. Anyone to me, you know, because some people, you know, whatever form that you can move our people towards independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, it is all good, but you are physically doing it. You put much of your energy, time, effort, and money into making this happen, you know? And so therefore, to me, you are special, brother, in our struggle to, you know, move our people forward. Yes.
Absolutely, brother. Appreciate you.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely appreciate you for all that you do and for Africa, for the Africans. A few weeks ago, you sent me on WhatsApp just a ton of good information, man, that you sent me on what's happening. The Pan-African, the Black Star Repatriation and Pan-African Community in Ghana. You know, you sent that information. And, of course, the flyer with the tours that are upcoming and the packages and what they all include, you know, just a good wealth of information. And of course, some of the paperwork and the layout. Now, where is the land that is going to be utilized, right now for the repatriation?
That land is in an area called Jahazi, and that's in the central region, and that's close by Winneba, and that is 90 minutes to an hour. It's 90 minutes to 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So hour and a half to 2 hours drive from Accra to Jahazi, or from Cape Coast Elmina to Jahazi. So you're kind of in that central point.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I've been to, in fact, that vision that you are now making it become a reality, I had that vision because I visited. It was my first visit to Ghana, and I stayed in Winneba. There was a resort there. It was kind of run down, but I kept looking at it in all its potential. And I said, man, if somebody could make could remodel this and make it really nice and then promote this in the West for brothers and sisters to come here, we'll take you, pick you up from the airport, get you out of Accra and all of that, and get you here to Winneba. You can relax, and it's right on the ocean. It's beautiful. I mean, swimming pool that is private, and then the ocean, of course, and then all the other activities that could happen. Then we could, you know, get you to Cape Coast dungeons. You can see them damn dungeons. Then get you to Kumasi. You can go to Kumasi you know, I mean, so much. I was like, wow, what a nice place. And you're developing, and it is fantastic. That is beautiful, man. Yeah. No, it's, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, it's one of those great opportunities where, you know, Malcolm X talk about land is the base of independence. And it's the basic for us to build that freedom and justice and that foundation that we want. So we have to just be bold and learn the game. So since I've been traveling to Ghana from 2006 to the last time I was in Ghana, which was January 2022, literally 15 straight years on 20 journeys. And while we're doing these journeys to Ghana, you know, you're telling people that your goal is to learn the culture, the system, learn how to do international business, learn real estate development, because you have to keep on progressing in societies. Like, we start off from study groups, most of us, or joining certain black organizations, but then we have to, you know, we have to keep that foundation right there, but also we have to keep building on it. So building on it is getting the land and also reaching out to your brothers and sisters and say, hey, family, we can build on this land to build a community and put our financial resources together to build true black cooperative economics and be able to be a competitor on the African continent, competing with the likes of the Lebanese, the Indians, and the Chinese, which are three of the biggest groups there in different parts of Africa. And since we're talking about West Africa, definitely the three biggest in West Africa, to where they dominate markets. And a lot of the things that we as black people in the African diaspora, with the skills, talents, and our financial resources, those are things that we can actually be doing. So they're the ones doing it, and some of them have been there for generations. So some of them have beaten us to, you know, to the actual connection. Because during the times when, for example, the Chinese or the Indians were brought to different parts of Africa as indentured workers, they literally stayed there. And just like when contracts are offered and a group of Chinese or Japanese or whatever group of people coming, foreigners coming, they're there to stay, you know, because most of the countries that they're coming from are overpopulated, mm-hmm. as in India and China. And then now they're trying to relocate the population. As a matter of fact, a good percentage of population of Indians like dominate East Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're in Tanzania, you talk to certain people and they'll tell you that their family been here for 3, 4, 5 generations. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, we heard the story of Idi Amin, and
right.
his move to push out Asians out of Uganda, and then they didn't just leave Africa completely. Some of them did, but some of them went to other countries. Mm-hmm. So you're telling our brothers and sisters in the diaspora that we have to take this thing serious. Acquiring land, developing it, and reaching out to our brothers and sisters and creating opportunities. And also, we have so much of our own people from the diaspora in different parts of Africa. And let's be honest, you know, some of them are struggling. I'm not going to say a lot of them because I don't know the exact numbers, but some of them are struggling and some of them can use the help of a community. And some of them would have been better off investing their resources in a community, because after about 2, 3 years and the business that you thought you were going to build is not like flowing, you know, the money that you initially came with is gone. And you didn't invest in land, you didn't build a home, you didn't cut down your monthly cost of business. So now you have all this expense now. So I wanted to give people, you know, the why and things like that. Because sometimes people say, I want to go to Africa and I just want to connect into the, you know, into the culture of the country. And that's fine, and that's exactly what we're doing. The only difference is we're doing it as a community versus as an individual.
Right.
So now show up somewhere, it's a unit of us versus individuals, and you can go a long way, and you're stronger together.
Right.
And we have struggled here together as a people, you know, whether we're from Jamaica, America, or whatever country, you know, so we're connected together. So let's use our connection and work together and look out for each other. So that's what a community represents.
And that's what we must do. And we must reach out to Africans on the continent to make them understand that, you know, we're not coming as tourists. No, we're coming home. We're coming home to work with you to build Africa, to make sure that all of us who are Africans can share in the wealth of Africa, you know, share in the land of Africa, the future of Africa. Because if we don't, There will be no future for us. You know, when I heard that the Chinese some years ago were trying to move 300 million Chinese into Africa, and they're in all these places that, in fact, in the Berlin Conference of 1884-85, when Europeans physically sat at a table in Berlin, Germany, and carved up Africa, that's what the Chinese are doing now. The Chinese are all over Africa, not just in Ghana or in East Africa and Kenya and so forth. And, you know, they're all over. And in the projects that they make, they only use Chinese labor. They don't employ any of the indigenous people, any of the people of those countries. And then when you default on the loan, they take the project. They have Zambia's airport. The Chinese control it. And then the Chinese put security forces. You know, what other groups are doing on the continent of Africa, we could never do in those countries. Never. But yet.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying to people, family. It's kind of like getting your birthright stolen from you. But then at the same time, too, if we in the diaspora don't step our game up and say, hey, I'm going to put my resources and my brothers and sisters and come together. Look at all the skilled engineers that we have in this country in America, black engineers, regardless of wherever they come from. You know, that's a whole enterprise right there. And that's what I'm telling people, is like, we have the potential and we have everything ready to go from the African diaspora.
Yes.
One thing is missing. We have to organize it, and then we got to like set it off on like a mission, and then like, you know, deliver this, you know, execute what needs to be executed. And that's what we're doing. We're organizing people from the African diaspora. We're coming together in groups doing tourism journey. And, you know, whether we're going to Ghana, Senegal, Gambia, Tanzania, but since we're talking about Ghana, when we're going to Ghana, we're able to see the country, and then you're able to connect to the business and investment conference where you're going to be doing a whole lot of networking. And then a day or two later, you're going to go see the land. You're going to go see people who are building their homes, people who are building their homes. You're going to go see our Black Star Pan-African office. You're going to go see something in a vision to where we're working towards it. And the best time to do that is now, because 5-10 years from now, when you're trying to get land in Africa, if there's land available, it's going to be ridiculously expensive. And one of the things is, if we don't lock in on these deals, I'm telling people, these big groups out there, Indians, Chinese, Lebanese, and others, they're literally out there. They're going to be building their resorts. They're going to be doing all these things along all the different coasts. I tell people, look at Jamaica as a prime example. From Otarius, Negril, Montego Bay, three of the top tourist destinations just right there in one country. And look at who owns all of the resorts and
exactly.
all of the establishment built
exactly.
there. Rich families from different parts of Europe, America, they put their money together and they made their move. They understand the vision of investing. They understand the vision of real estate development and business enterprising. So that's what I'm trying to get more of us involved in, because by us not having that mindset, you know, others are going to come in and take advantage of our opportunities. And then what we're going to say, you know, because I hear a lot of us sometimes with us here in America, we complain about what these other groups are doing in Africa. And I'm like, you know, you can sit there and complain just like someone on the sidelines, but in order to change the flow of the game and make things happen, you got to get in the game and play.
Or even more importantly, create your game. To hell with their game. Create your game. The bottom line, Brother Bomani, is that Africa is ours. There is no place on this planet, not even the Caribbean, that we can say this is ours. In fact, the Caribbean is a playground for Europeans, for Caucasians, for whites, and we just work there. You know, we don't run nothing there either. Even when Barbados did what they did, kicking the Queen's ass out, should have been done a long time ago. But still, they run it. The resorts, the hotels, all of that, they run it, and we just manage it, and we just serve people. And it's the same thing happening on the continent. And I'm saying is that at least on the continent, if we got our act together and doing what you're saying we should do, we can say to other groups coming in, no, you're not coming here with this. No, you're not buying. This is ours. We couldn't do it where you come from. And you know it. We couldn't do it. Especially in a group of us. No. And so I'm saying, you know, we should not allow it to happen to us. But it is happening. And to the point that even though you're doing what you're doing, this is a very tenuous position that we're in at this time of our history as a people. Because, you know, for us, we have bought into this idea of capitalism, of America, and so forth. And for African people, see, individualism, that's not us, but that is Europeans. We're individuals. You know, individualism is a desire, you know, but collectivism for us as African people is a must. Is it an imperative? And so for us to be collective and pulling our resources and so forth and doing what you're doing, I see the layout. I see the plots of land that people can buy and make a community there in Ghana and all over the continent. All over the continent. Imagine we started doing this all over the continent and building roads, linking up, building highways, building railroads, building ports, building hospitals, schools, and so forth. We have all the damn resources that all the people in the world want. The only thing that we don't have is the right mind. Sorry to go off on you, Brother Bomani. But yeah, I appreciate
you.
Now,
I'm with you on the right mindset, because it's literally becomes a mental warfare to where you're either going to be mentally organized and ready, or you're not. Sometimes it just comes down to that. So that's what we're doing, you, I, and many of us out here in the Black Conscious movement and this Pan African movement and this general movements of Black people. Trying to educate more so than anything else, so people can put their minds together. Because the rest of the things we can put together, but if our minds are not right and we're not organized together, we'll come together and build something and then turn around and destroy it the same day.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
Because we'll be at war with each other and you know, and things like that. So those are the things that we're fighting with as a people. You know, mental struggles, mental disorder. And so on. And, you know, no other people have to really deal with what we have psychologically have to deal with, you know, this, you know, in our DNA itself. Mm-hmm. But no one is going to feel sorry for us. They're going to say that, you know, this happened a long time ago, like people have always say. And, you know, so I'm not saying for us to get over it. I'm saying for us to work together to figure it out, because we're on our own and no help is coming.
That's right.
And the generation that we have birthed, we have to leave something in place for them. And we can't just tell them this, you know, figure it out and things like that. That's not progress. So right now, while, you know, we have certain things going on, our goal is to build a future for them to where we are educating our own children, you know, in the land that we have, phase two of it, you know, we have space to build education and training buildings, you know, whether you work it as our own university or whatever, which is fine because you have multiple buildings and things dedicated to educating us as a people from important fields of like technical and business operation and things that we just need to know how to do so we can run our own affairs. Because when we have to run and manage the industries, the factories and the resorts and the town itself, you know, we're going to have to teach ourselves what we need to know to make it work and things like that, and put our children, our people in place of this, you know, being able to run an empire. And things like that, and that, you know, that it starts now. So that's what the foundation of the land, and that's what I'm explaining to people, that we have an office there. You can go see the land. You can go see the people building on there. Do your research and your legwork. Let us connect you to what's going on. Because the issue that we have nowadays is when people see you building something like this, and them themselves and their crew could not figure it out, and you're progressing. That's when the hatred, the jealousy, the envy, and all that stuff come. But we tell individuals that, hey, if you want the source of information for this community, for the tourists, for what we're doing, We have our website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and you have me directly to communicate with so we can give you the proper details, answer all the questions and everything. Because we live in a world where it's so much negative energy out there and misinformation is passed around about your company. So I tell people, if you want to know anything about this company, you reach out to us, because who's going to know more about what's going on in us and things like that. So just trying to get our people to kick in with the critical thinking and clicking with understanding that, you know, we're at a time where, you know, we've been working here for hundreds of years. Now let's take some of the resources that we're working and then reinvest it in land, real estate development, community, and the future of our people, and think of ways that we're putting our money together as our own credit union, reinvesting it, and so on. These are the ideas that we have to step up to now, especially since so much of us are going to Africa, which means that if more of us are going to Africa, why are we not more so putting our money together and making moves in Africa? Because we're sold certain dreams and certain ways people talk. People have talked down to me about this community like we're just going to isolate ourselves. As a matter of fact, all my business partners, I tell them they're all Ghanaians. I'm the only one that's, you know, that's not from Ghana and things like that. And everybody that we're connecting with, you know, is in the country. And then we have also Ghanaians and other people in the group. So we're letting people know this is the truest energy and example of Pan-Africanism, yes. Not what they think they're doing.
Yes.
You know, because we're talking about many nations of people, many different skilled backgrounds coming together. And that's what our Africa Tourism Investment Energy represent.
And because see, before, you know, when we came to Africa, into Liberia, we had a European mindset. We're better than them. You know, we have been educated by Caucasians. We're closer to the Caucasians, Europeans. You know, you are Africans. And then their mindset was, well, we're Africans. We weren't enslaved, even though we've been colonized, but at least we weren't. So that conflict has been there, and it is still there. Still there, you know. And so the bottom line is that we need to do it. And that's what I love about what you're doing. We can talk all we want to, and that's what I do on this program. Yes, I talk, but I'm trying to encourage our people to do, to physically go there, to physically do things, to go into our community to help educate our people, to be the strong voice. You know, the greatest impediments for our liberation and self-determination and sovereignty is the theologies that we believe in, Christianity particularly, even as well as Islam, and in the governments that we believe in. We believe this. We want to fight for this. We believe in voting. We believe that this government will treat us right and all this. This is crazy. Because I don't give a damn if Europeans become a numerical minority, so to speak, in 10, 15 years from now. They'll still run this. Everywhere the European has been, he runs it. Even in South,
they're the minority group of wherever they are.
Right.
Outside of Europe.
Yes, outside of Europe. And yet still they, I mean, in South Africa, in Namibia, they're still running it. So I'm saying to us is that we should kick off all the mysticism, all the tribalism, all the bullshit, and come together as African people. You said it a while ago, and Dr. John Henry Clark said it eloquently, we have no friends. We have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror.
You also mentioned, you know.
Yeah. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. I'm sorry, what'd you say? You broke up on me.
Yeah, I also was saying that you mentioned Pan-Africanism or perish.
That's right. That's the model of this program. Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's the motto of this program. Because I'm committed. I'm dedicated. You know, I want to see, and you know, I don't have long on this planet. That's for sure. I'm damn near 70, you know, be 70 soon, real soon, you know. And so I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. And boy, would I love to see all the things that are happening, particularly what you're doing. And I would love to see more of it. more groups, more unity, more functional unity, more of us starting to understand that our salvation and that our future lies in us going home to build Africa for Africans. That's the deal. It ain't here. Some individuals here will be fine. They'll do fine. There's some individuals that are happy with the job they have, happy with the neighborhood they live in, the house that they have, the car they drive. They're happy. They got theirs. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored, as some of the religious people say. Oh, you're blessed and highly favored, but our people are going to hell. There's crime everywhere. We are killing each other. We're miseducated, underemployed, but your ass is blessed and highly favored. No, we as a people must be blessed. And the only blessing is to throw off the yoke of ignorance and come together to do for ourselves, pull our resources. Now, I was in Ghana a few years ago, you know, and there was a program, and I was there with Amakusa. Well, you know Amakusa of One Africa. Did she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is she? I'm quite sure she's supporting your program.
Yes, I've worked with her since 2006 up until now. We always stay at One Africa from that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Been here 20 times over the 15 years that we have done tours, and we always bring our groups there.
Yes.
So, you know, we're connected through this doing business.
Well, it's a beautiful place. I'd never forget when Nana Kofu was still with us. And, you know, because he's from New York. Well, they're both from New York. And he was a former firefighter.
Yeah, you mentioned that he's a part of the firefighter
connection
in you.
Yeah.
And you have that background also.
That's, mm-hmm.
That's how you know about him.
Yep. And you know, unfortunately, you know, he made his transition. But one of the things I love about what the place they have right there on the ocean, the chalets that they've built over the years, the, you know, all of that. And that whole community there, Mabel's Table down the road, you know, Brother Cohane and all the people there. It's a beautiful community. But, you know, we need more of that, don't we? We need a lot more of that.
And then we also, you know, have to take it to another level. Mm-hmm. So as we see our people before us doing certain things, we have to expand on that. So one of the things I'm always telling individuals that it's, you know, it's a nonstop process. You know, we have to keep on, you know, building and building. You know, we have lost so much years and lost so, you know, so much time and just lost so much everything.
Yeah.
So now it's the time to just really just be about it in this full-fledged. So as new people are coming into Africa and they're looking to repatriate and things like that, you know, the advice I have for them is to don't bring all that drama from where you came from.
I say.
And
yeah.
Understand that your own brothers and sisters from the diaspora are of value. You know, you must work together with them. And then that's your key to how you connect with the rest of, you know, the people there in the country, because they need to see you connecting with your own people from where you come from. But if they see you fighting and bickering, then they're going to, you know, it's going to scare them. And mm-hmm. they're going to, you know, and things like that. So those things right there, because it's not been like that. We have so many people in certain countries, like the popular ones are like Ghana and the Gambia. And, you know, you don't see those solidarities
mm-hmm.
and things like that. I've tried to do my best in what we have there in Ghana, and I've tried to encourage other people there in the country and also in other countries. But that's going to be one of the big things, and I'm hoping that we can do better this year as a people and show the rest of the world that, you know, we're serious about repatriation, and we're going to work together to literally build that permanent bridge to where, you know, when our people from the diaspora come on over, we can set them up proper and get them in the right place. That way they're not spinning their wheels and they're not losing out on their money and things like that. And that way they can be encouraged to stay and build and things like that. And then if any of us, you know, kind of fall into certain hardship, at least, you know, we have a community there that can help us, because if you're Ghanaian and you're wherever you, you know, you're there in Ghana, you're Nigerian and you're there in Ghana, you know, you have your people, your community and things like that. For those of us from the diaspora, a lot of times You know, some of us are the only people in our family that's going to make that move.
Right. Oh, no doubt. Like you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so instead of being on your own, you know, just team up with us as a people, team up with your own people, your own brothers and sisters, and let's get this thing done right. And let's stop all of the, you know,
pettiness.
You know, the hating, especially like YouTube breeds a lot of this energy because people feel like that's what they have to do to get people to like their videos and subscribe to their videos. They got to consistently be in drama mode and things like that, you know. And I've been in lecture and education mode because I feel like it's this time to teach our people stop the foolishness.
Yes.
You know, we have a lot at stake. We have a lot of people looking at us and they're trying to make the decision, should they move to Africa or not? And when they see us, they're struggling. When they see us, they're not having it together. You know, they're going to say, you know, might as well I stay where I'm at because I'm not going to take that chance. So that's what our goal is, to literally make an organized repatriation movement where we have our business office there, community center, and we can just run operations and just help people get this thing done the right way and put them in the right connections for investments and so on and so on. And, you know, so the goal is just to change the scope of this because you have a lot of people you have a lot more people interested in going to Africa on a living basis than I've ever seen at any time. Because when we started doing this business in early 2000, it was just a different mindset.
Right. It was more of a tourist mindset then, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. And you have to be careful about who you talk to about Africa and talk about, do you want to come to Africa with me? Do you want to come live and do business? Because you might, you know, they might take it as an insult.
What? Leave this beautiful America?
Yeah. And yeah, and I tell people,
and all these creature comforts. Yeah. And all these creature comforts. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I understand America got it going on, but you tell people one of the things that, you know, we realistically have to understand by now, we look at all of the prominent movements, they always get hijacked, infiltrated, and shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one thing is that you are limited when it comes to building black power. You know, you can live here and do well for yourself and, you know, and do certain things, but when you start crossing that line of black power and building, the things like we're talking about building in Ghana, where you have 15 acres and you have 60 acres,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to build something that's like 100% black enterprise, and you're going to build, you know, a beach town where all of the investors and the people who own the resorts and what you have set up is groups of black folks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you try to do that, you know, try to come here to Georgia and try to do that. You know, you run yourself into a whole world of trouble and problems.
Yeah.
If the folks in the code violation don't get you, then the, you know, then the domestic terrorists will get you and all the other, you know, then the black devils will get you. But it's just one of those things. They're trying to build this in Ghana. The chiefs, the people in the town, they want the opportunities. They want you to come invest and do these things. And, you know, they're even willing to just say, hey, I can offer my labor. I can offer, you know, my culture. I can offer, you know, like the chief, I can offer land and things like that.
Yeah.
So together we have what it needs to just build something and work from there. So that's like me just explaining the details of why we're building this community and why it's so important.
I say. I'm going to take a break. So when I come back from the break, we'll have some more discussion and all the information that you sent me, man, is just fantastic. Brother Bumani, you've been doing some great work and you deserve as big a platform that you can get, much, much bigger than what I'm trying to do here. Although I do have a number of callers. Huh?
I'm always open to it. You know, we have a lot of information to share based on the 15 years of expertise of traveling and doing business in Africa, and just want to share it with the world for free and then just get our people open their minds on these great investment opportunities in Africa so we can actually build and have black ownership.
Ashe. All right. I'm speaking with Brother Bumani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org and you can see for yourself. This man is doing the work. He is. How many people have you over the years have taken to Africa? Over 500?
Well over 500 people across seven different countries.
Seven
I've been
different
to a total
countries.
Of 10 in Africa, seven on tours.
Yep.
And I've been to 35 countries across six continents. Over the last, about the last 20 plus years, 35 plus countries. Yeah. So we will experience and well understand this game and this business. And then the background of mine is technical administration and business administration. So,
right on.
You know, we have all the necessary skills to run things.
This brother loves our people. He really loves Africa. He loves Africans as well as I do. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back with Brother Bomani Tahimba of Africa for the Africans. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Down in a braid, brothers with their afros taking center stage, watching as this culture slowly comes of age with a mind of its own. Yeah, mothers out in the yard hanging up her clothes, fathers playing with the kids, keeping them on the go. Neighborhoods feeding on the heart of its soul. And that's where my feelings live. Cause I love my people.
And so we're talking about the things that we do.
The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love. From the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Teachers off in the classroom giving up the love. Supported by that mom and dad who want that special touch. Little acts of kindness prove to mean so much. When we give what we know, kitchen pots are banging, smell of soul food fills the air. You walk past the neighbor's house wishing you had dinner there. Better times for living when people seem to care about that place where they grow. That's why I love. The way they let it go on a dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love my people.
I love,
So from the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Folks gather at the church on a Sunday morn. Openly they sing and praise and gospel music's born. God gave us love enough with spirits free to run. Why can't we learn to love ourselves like we're the chosen ones? Come and let me know how your life is doing good. Tell me how the blessings flow through the neighborhood. Share with me that time of feelings understood in that place we call home. Cause I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. So that I'm loving mine.
I love.
So from the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Let it go on a dance floor. Ain't no
put your table out. Can't nobody do it like us now. I'm loving my people. See that I'm loving mine. I'm loving my people.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Brother Gary Taylor, loving my people, and that's what Brother Bamadi and myself, that's what we do. We're loving our people. That's what we want to get them out of this craziness, out of this insanity, and put them in an atmosphere where we can live and love freely and where we can raise our children to be great thinkers and doers. Loving our people. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Moya Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then at 9 o'clock from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations for Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank. And then on on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. This evening at 8 p.m. from 8 to 9, the Black Farmers Report. And then on Fridays, if it's 8 p.m. Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then, excuse me. And then on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday from 7 to 9, Time for an Awakening. Once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. You know, Brother Bamani?
Yes, brother, I'm here live and direct.
Right on, live and living color. Listen, I'm going to play this piece that I sent you on the wealth, the 10 wealthiest places, and you can see the mineral wealth that Africa has that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and show now, hell damn it, don't want to pay for. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's almost like a TED Talk, but it's on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and put in Howard Nicholas, he's talking to a group of people, and he's saying that we must keep Africa poor. Africa must not develop. Africa must not be a producer. We must keep them poor so we can exploit them and take their resources so we can be producing and we sell products back to Africa. That's what happened in China. I know you've been to Ghana many times and you see the brothers and sisters on the streets with all kinds of stuff on their heads selling. None of that is produced in Africa. It's produced outside of Africa and brought back in. You know? So it's frustrating, you know, when I was in Ghana to see the China Mall being developed. I appreciate the highways. I definitely appreciated the highway from Accra to the northern. From Tamale to Moli Park. You know, I mean, it's a nice highway because I driven that a road rather, from Tamale in the northern region to Moli Park and near Burkina Faso, and it was terrible. It was terrible. So I appreciate that. But what was interesting, they built a resort for themselves with an additional road on a higher hill. Yeah. The Chinese built a resort for themselves on a higher hill overlooking, you know, the wildlife and stuff. I tell you, but I want to play this for our brothers and sisters, and I want to say to us, this is why we are doing this, because this is ours. This wealth is ours as African people. Not that you're Ghanaian or Cameroonian or Nigerian, or whether you live anywhere else in the diaspora, it is for African people. So check it out.
In today's video, we present the top 10 richest African countries based on natural resources. Number 10, Botswana. This South African country is rich in diamonds, copper, coal, soda ash, and nickel. Number 9, Ghana. This West African country is rich in gold, bauxite, diamonds, manganese, crude oil, silver, and salts. Number 8, Tanzania. This Eastern African country is rich in tanzanite, gold, diamonds, gems, and silver. Number 7, Guinea. This West African country is rich in bauxite, alumina, diamonds, and gold. Number 6, Mozambique. This southeastern country is rich in aluminium, natural gas, crude oil, copper, gold, rubies, graphite, titanium, marbles, bauxite, and many more. Number 5, South Africa. This southern African country is rich in gold, diamonds, iron ore, platinum, manganese, chromium, uranium, silver, beryllium, and titanium. Number 4, Zambia. This southern African country is rich in uranium, silver, cobalt, copper, coal, lead, zinc, and gold. Number 3, Namibia. This southern African country is rich in uranium, diamonds, zinc, lead, sulfur, salts, tantalite, and copper. Number 2, Niger. This West African country is rich in uranium, coal, cement, gold, iron ore, tin, phosphates, petroleum, salts, gypsum, and many more. And the number one spot for the richest African country based on natural resources is number 1, Democratic Republic of Congo. This Central African country is actually the richest country in the world and is almost single-handedly powering the global tech industry. With all the valuable resources that are found in the country, the Democratic Republic of Congo is rich in abundance of copper, cobalt, zinc, diamonds, oil, coltan, gold, lithium, bauxite, natural gas, tin, and many more. Did you enjoy our video? What do you think of our list of the top 10 richest African countries based on natural resources? Do leave your comments below, and if there's any video you'd like us to do, please leave your suggestions as well. I have been your presenter of the day, Kiri, and you can find me on Instagram at kiri.han or on YouTube at kiri.han voice talent. Thank you so much for watching. Remember to subscribe and ring the notification bell so that you don't miss any of our African videos. And remember, Africa is watching.
Yes, Africa is watching, and we are watching Africa. We are watching Africa.
All yes, that, absolutely.
Yeah.
That sounds like Black Africa, the economic and cultural basis for a federated state by Sheikh Anta Diop.
Yes, yes, yes. There are so many. Sheikh Anta Diop understood that. Thomas Sankara, Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, all of them understood that we must have a federated Africa, Africa united. It's not just Ghana. It's not just Nigeria. It's not just South. It's Africa united. You can still be whatever cultural group, tribe, so to speak, that you are. But the most important thing is Africa and the development of Africa and to control Africa's resources. That's the most important thing. And unfortunately, we are not there. And so we are undermined. We are manipulated. We are scrutinized. We are played on. And Africa is the richest continent. And even though it's been plundered for hundreds of years, when you look at the wealth of Europe is the direct result of the theft of Africa. When you look at the British and all the gold and she ugly ass riding in a gold carriage, that's Africa. There's no resources in Europe. None. You've seen what happened. When you look at Belgium, I can't stand none of them. The French, all of them. All of them. But Belgium, when Leopold was working there, when he first
got Belgium through the Berlin Conference, and he said if you didn't produce enough rubber or whatever resources that we want, we cutting off your hands, cutting off your feet. They used to have chocolate hands in Belgium sold at the candy store. And where does the chocolate come from? It comes from Africa, from the cocoa farms in Africa. There are none in Europe. So Cadbury's and Nestle's and all the others. So I'm saying it is us. It is ours. And yet we are perceived and depicted as a poor people. And when in essence, we are a very rich people in culture, in materials, in wealth. But yet it is exploited. And we're trained to hate ourselves, and therefore we hate each other. We're trained to believe in what the Caucasian is, and therefore we invest in bleaching cream. We spend billions of damn dollars whitening our skin. Brother Mamani, help me out, man. Help me out, man.
Yes, man. The only thing I can say, it's that time, and we just got to get up on our economics, you know.
Yeah.
Part of what Sheikh Ansa Diab had in the title, you know, it's, you know, the economic and cultural basis. So getting back to our economics and our culture solves our problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but see, we've been trained to hate African culture. We've been trained to hate ourselves and each other. So the job that you're doing and I'm doing and many of us like-minded individuals are doing and trying our best. And I'm saying to really, Brother Bomani, I'm going to present it to you. When you reject it, I'm going to move on. Leave your ass here. You know, I'm tired of trying to, you know, beat my head against the wall, trying to make you or trying to beat your damn head against the wall, trying to get you to understand the importance of functional unity, the importance of embracing your culture, the importance of honoring your ancestors and giving reverence to your elders and respect for your family and to love each other, to have a complementarity between African women and African men. So it's deep, man.
Yeah, serious, man. Brother, it is what's going on now, and that's why for those of us who know better must do better and lead the blind if we have to and things like that. So our move in Africa, for those of us that are part of the repatriation movement, those of us that are going back and forth or live there in the continent, that's your contribution right there as far as making that move in. So we have to just strengthen that energy because the fact of it is already in motion. So the adjustments is, you know, it's organizing people with the right mindset and say, hey, we can do this together, serious. And if we don't do this together, you know, we're going to be overrun and overtaken and everything. Last I remember, the population of countries like India and China is growing and growing. And last I remember, those countries have industrialized so much to where they have destroyed a good part of their country to where certain parts of their country is not livable. And how soon you're going to turn around one day and they're going to say only 25% of China now is livable. So what do you think the Chinese going to do? Start killing themselves? No.
No.
They're going to start moving to where they have opportunities. So they have already flooded all over the Caribbean and like South America. And African continent is just so big, you know, but they're working their way in. You know, even if it's from Zambia all the way up, they're working their way in. So, you know, you're just telling people that this is real. And just look back 20 years ago, even look back 20 years ago in America when, you know, when you used to actually see brothers out there, you know, at the construction sites and at the landscaping sites and things like that, or a certain other, you know, position, you know, but now you see this other, you know, other nations of people. And this is like a global phenom of this us getting squeezed. You know, people used to talk about gentrification and things like that. Now, that whole situation is just normal now, where you see certain urban areas that used to be, you know, predominantly black people, and now it's an influx of all kind of people. But at the same time, too, everything has gone up, you know, especially housing. So, you know, we have to just really just put ourselves in this position, like, we can literally find ourselves homeless as a people out throughout the world. Now, if we don't start locking down on what we need to do, you know, if we're here and we say, let's focus more on America, then absolutely, family, do what you need to do and invest. You know, you have old, broken down apartments and houses, buy up those lots, reinvest in it, and put your folks in it. Or else somebody else is going to come buy it up and increase the price and put whoever in it. So these are real things that's going on, and that's the good thing about it. All these things that we talk about, Oshie, they're in your face all day, every day.
That's right, my brother.
None of this stuff is hidden anywhere. Yes. And then you have, and then everything is online.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, anything that you need to know is right there at your fingertips. Everything is, you know, all of it. Everything that me and you are talking about, I mean, number one, you can go to the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Because everything on the website for anyone that wants to take one of your tours, to invest, all the information, all the things that you need, the shots, the visas, all everything is right there. Everything.
Yeah, they also have examples of everything that we've done in the past. I religiously record videos of everything we do.
Yes, you do.
You can see like a whole playlist of an entire tour.
Yes.
So, you know, and then you can see all the things that we have available. And I tell people, mm-hmm. you have to be prepared to get yourself ready to enjoy yourself. You know, you having the greatest time is yeah. important because everything is set for you to do so. So good. I'm telling everyone, this is the best journey of a lifetime to connect you to different parts of Africa.
Yes.
And
I mean,
because I mean, you put together a good itinerary and connecting us with a good staff. So I tell people, if you look at our, you know, the highlights compared to what other people are doing, and you'll see that we literally have covered all bases, including the networking part. So you come there, you come by yourself, you end up meeting a whole lot of people and you have a whole lot of new friends, you know, from the people that you're traveling with to also the people in the country that you are meeting and connecting with.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at what you have done, and when somebody goes through the process, and everything is laid out for you, and you have videotaped all of this for years. So you know, at the time that you go to the airport, to the time you're getting on the plane to go, to the time you disembark and go to your hotel. And get briefed on all the things you're going to do, get into the bus, the coach, whatever, go to these different sites and so forth. All of it's videotaped, talking to the local people, and of course the tour guides, which are local people. I mean, all of it's videotaped. All of it's right there for you. For many years, the many sites and different things that you can do in these countries, it's fantastic, man. It really is. You know, so I mean, you can go to many of the beautiful countries of, you know, I know your Senegal and Gambia tour didn't have enough people this year. So it's been rescheduled for March 31st to April 10th of next year, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so
one of those things you're telling people, you're interested in the journey, commit by putting a deposit down. That way we can lock you down, and that way we can, you know, calculate to have the right amount of people that we need mm-hmm. to do the journey.
Right.
But, you know, 5-6 people is not going to work. You know, we can probably figure something out, but in order for us to enjoy the fullness of it, you know, it's a budget situation. So
right.
The bus, you want to make sure you have right. a nice, comfortable bus and all those things.
Mm-hmm. Because really, I've looked at other tours and the amount of money that people have asked, you are far more economical than any of them. In fact, you just started next year to be $4,000.
Yeah, that's for the Ghana December 2022.
Right.
That's only because the tickets right now on average are about closer to $2,000 than they, you know, so they've gone up a lot more.
Right.
So December 1, that's the issue, but most of the price, what you're looking at, family, a lot of close to half of that goes towards the you know, the ticket itself, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for Europeans, it don't cost hardly anything from Europeans to go from Europe to America.
No. Sometimes you're talking about $400 or $500.
Exactly. But for you,
that's something easy.
Yeah, but for you to go from America to Ghana or anywhere in Africa, $2,000. See.
Yeah, it's and you can tell the energies out there to kind of, you know, discourage people and things like that. So you do your best to package it and just make it work as best as possible in this. And then, you know, right now we just have to use the airlines that they have available. So we just use them until we figure something out later on in the future. But, you know, we have a whole lot of things to tackle as a people. We just have to get full-fledged independent on 100% basis of what we got going on
exactly.
in the world.
Exactly.
Like, literally
be great.
Control our destiny to the highest level.
Yeah.
And that's using corporate economics. You know, mm-hmm. say we want to build an airline. Well, it's going to take a lot of our individual money. But, hey, that's what it takes. Hey, we can get it done. But the point I'm telling people is, like, none of this thing is impossible. It's just the only issue now is the fact you have to be willing to learn to work with your own people and get this thing done. And I think that's it.
Well, you know, at the end of the program, I always emphasize the word will. Just like when Bibi Fahodie, you know, our victorious destiny, we will. I mean, it's the will. Do we have the will to do it? That's what it boils down to. And you just mentioned that. You know, you've got some great trips upcoming. May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana. And then November 17th to November 28th, going to Tanzania. And then, of course, December 24th to December 24th to January 5th, going to Ghana. And then, once again, the Senegal trip is March 31st to June. March 31st to April 10th, going to Senegal and Gambia, two countries. Yeah. And, of course, we're talking about also, too, the importance of land to be bought and sold and developed, investment, the Black Star Repatriation and Pan-African Community that we were talking about earlier in Ghana. So now how could I access that? I have to become a member, correct?
As far as accessing information, what you have right there, you just read, which is on the front page of our website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, is you just click on the link and then you have to go to all those details. And then for individuals who want me to send them the application with all of the legal files and sample paperwork, that's all I need is their email, and I'll send it to them on email. Mm-hmm. And I got a whole lot of things compiled in one email. That way, everyone who's checking it out, they can be clear on a whole lot of things, including the examples of the individual documents they'll get, and then also the documented documents as far as the group itself, Black Star Pan-African Community, and things like that. So a lot of times you're doing these kind of business with people, and they're not giving you clear information, and that's what I specialize in, detailed information. And I'm telling people that if you didn't learn to love reading, you're going to have to do it now, because this is your money. And we don't want no trouble or problems with anyone, because everything we go by is our terms and what we have set up. So we ask people to please click on the information and read it. It's just like the tour. When you click on it, it has an itinerary, an overview, general terms, visa, preparation details. So, you know, it gives you all those information. And then what I have is presentations, recorded presentations, where we're going over these things on YouTube conference call. We're also going over it on screen sharing and things like that. So it's a lot of information to be clear. So individuals can choose whichever way they want it. But we're just making sure that we have the presentations organized professionally at the highest level. As you see in the website, everything is structured, organized, neat. All the lists of our previous journeys. And as soon as you click on the Black Star link, the introduction, it gives you our incorporation for Ghana and our incorporation for here in the U.S., showing true international business of operating from Georgia to Ghana and having your business paperwork for boat locations and things like that.
It is important that our people understand and know that this is not some, you know, poo-shiesty, run-of-the-mill kind of no. This is professional. This is professionally done. I remember a few things that we're talking about, investment in Africa, this and that, and land and so forth, and come to find out it wasn't all that it was stated to be. They may have sent out nice pictures and so forth, but it didn't turn out that way. It didn't look that way. It wasn't that way, you know. But I have found you to be a man of integrity, and that is vastly important.
Appreciate it.
You know. A true man of your word, and you have always produced since I've known you. And I've known you now for 7 years since I moved here. You know, I haven't gone on a trip with you. I was going to go, but I got sick. So, but there'll be other times because I'm getting well. So I'm definitely going to do that because I've looked at your videos. I've seen how the tours are run, very well organized, very well structured, safe and so forth. And I think that an individual who is listening to us, if you go on the website, africafortheafricans.org, and see for yourself, and then more importantly, make a decision. Put the down payment. It's a $400 down payment. Pay on it consistently. So by the time you're ready to go, you haven't just dropped a whole wad of cash. You're just ready to go. You got you some money so you can spend some money at the markets and so forth. And I mean, pretty much everything else is there. You know, nice hotels. You know, stays in nice hotels. The buses are nice. You know, that one time I went, man, I was riding on a tro-tro. You know, shoot. So, you know, I think it is beautiful. And I think that it's just as you always promote it has a trip of a lifetime. And it is. But what it does, though, it inspires you, unlike just a tourist thing. It's not just a tourist thing. You're going to learn more about the country. You're going to see things outside of the little tourist things that they always give you. You'll learn to and talk with the people, you know, especially like in Ghana, because people in Ghana speak English. I mean, they speak a multiple number of languages, Kan, Tri, and so forth, but they speak English. So there's no communications problem. You know, it may be a little bit of a communications problem for Senegal, because they speak French, you know, but they speak English as well. So, yeah. So what is the number of people that you feel you have to have per tour? Anywhere between what?
I would say a minimum of 10 to 15. And yeah, those are the minimums, and you can fit on a nice Toyota Coaster bus, and you get a bigger group, then you know, we can move up to more of a coach bus.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're always shooting for a bigger group, and that just make the movements smoother.
Yeah.
And yeah. The bus is a big part of that.
Because I've seen some pictures with real nice size groups, 30-some people, maybe damn near 40 people, you know. In past tours, you know,
you'll see any range from, it's actually 8 was the smallest group, and then the biggest 43. So you throughout the 15 years, you'll see those, and then you see the, you know, the COVID era, you know, you'll see the groups are all in the, you know, the teens, like 15 and so.
Yeah. Well, I know two people who are going to go. You know, and they decided not to go because of COVID. You know, they had connected with you. You know, they were definitely going to go. And then because of COVID, they decided not to go. You know, and I know probably this Senegal and Gambia trip was postponed or delayed or rescheduled because of COVID, you know.
Yeah, the situation is people are unsure about certain things, but I just tell everyone to just go with the flow of what we have, because we're showing everyone that we have consistent schedule. Like when you look at the tour group for last year, it's one of the few years we have actually completed 4 straight journeys. You know, we did Senegal and Gambia in April, then Ghana in May, Tanzania in November, and then Ghana again in December. And I mean, it was on average about 13 to 15 people, but those are the four groups consistently. So you're putting the energy out there, letting people know that we're doing these tours and we're showing you that we're going.
Right.
You know, like that. But it's like we can't keep, you know, operating with the low numbers. So that's why I just, you know, adjusted Senegal and Gambia for next year so we can have a stronger group, and then focus right now on Ghana, May and December, and Tanzania. Right. So trying to get individuals to just look at the information, process it, check it out, talk, have a conversation, join a conference call and things like that, and then make a commitment and stick with it. And if something comes up or something changes or happens, then just, you know, we can add you to another journey or transfer you to another journey. So it's not the end of the world in that situation. And the same thing with the airlines, they'll, you know, you know, they'll give you an option to where they'll give you a credit, a full credit for you just to use it on another, you know, another trip.
Yeah.
So all those things are in place. So individuals just got to follow the COVID protocols, what we have, and then go by what I'm telling them to do based on the fact that I've done six different journeys since the shutdown ended, you know, and around, around September 2020, around that time.
Right.
When you're ready to go to like Ghana and Tanzania and so on. So it's, yeah, it's real. And I do understand the frustration of going through all these procedures and wearing a mask, but if you're looking to travel and enjoy life, you know, it may not always go back to normal. So the best thing I recommend individuals do is just, you know, just go with the flow as for now, and then we got your back, and we'll get you prepared. So all the people that we're showing you on group pages is people that followed all of our procedures and followed all of our guidelines, and then now they're there in the country enjoying themselves, and then they're back safe and things like that. So
sure. And a lot of the country, well, at least the country that you're, they don't have a vaccine restriction or vaccine necessity to identify people coming into the country, do they? Where you have?
The only thing that I would say, some of them just recommend you, recommend and require for you to have a vaccination card. So those countries vary. It's hard to even say which ones do or don't. And as far as Ghana, you have to just keep on reading the updates because those things change.
Yeah.
But whenever we, whoever's traveling with me on a group and we're having a conference call, whatever the research and things like that, I usually just look up those things ahead of time because I'm traveling also. And I usually just share it with the group and we just go through it and keep an eye out for any updates or change in the travel protocols and things like that. So, you know, individuals that are traveling with us or even joining our community, they don't really have to do much other than follow the directions and follow the flow of everything. And we have everything set up in our business operation to take care of things for people for the most part and provide them with the best guidelines and support.
Good. Because I know that some of the countries, they didn't have an issue or a problem with COVID, you know. There was not a lot of people being infected by it, you know, like in America, in Europe, and so forth. And one of the reasons why they were getting out in the sun, vitamin D, maybe they're healthy. Also, too, there were younger populations, you know. But now some of the one, you know, it seems like there's a dictate by the West or by the pharmaceutical companies or by those who said, no, they must have a shot. You know, they must get the COVID vaccination. Do you see that? Is that something that is?
What I know is people are being lured into doing it because from your employers to just a certain protocol of going to certain countries, it's just being enforced little by little.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
But it's not something that's stopping people because last I checked on all the flights I was on, they're all full.
Okay. Yeah. 678. Good afternoon. 678. Not 678.
Hello.
267. Good afternoon.
Hey, brother Oshie. Yeah.
Hey.
I'm listening to your guest right now. From what I understand, Ghana wants you to take that COVID-19 shot upon getting there. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct. What you see on their site is a vaccination card. So individuals, just bring a vaccination card and you're good to go. But no one should be there trying to inject you.
What it is, I don't have a vaccination card. I don't want the stuff in me. So that would, I couldn't go to Ghana then.
You can go to Ghana. They'll give you a quarantine option. So to quarantine for a few days and then you're good to go. So those are some of the options that they have at this moment. I just came back in December and everyone that traveled with me had to show their vaccination card to the airlines before we boarded, and also show it when we enter the country and show it when we're leaving. So unfortunately, that's the situation. But the latest thing was a quarantine option, and I have a good brother that goes to Sierra Leone also, and he told me the same situation. He had to quarantine for a few days. But that's the situation.
But what about the plane flight over there? They're not even going to allow you on the plane if you don't have those vaccination cards.
Yes,
That's what we're reading. That's why we were thinking about Tanzania and not Ghana, because of they want you to put that substance in your body, and I refuse to. So
yeah, definitely understand that situation. But as far as the airlines, under the new changes now, I was referring to when I went in December, when it wasn't a quarantine option. It was just you have to have a vaccination card. So in this situation, they'll have a different procedure now as far as what needs to be checked off, because now the vaccination card is not mandatory. Because they're checking off is all the mandatory stuff. When you get to the airlines, they want to make sure you have your travel certificate, which is basically you uploading your U.S. COVID test up into the Ghana system. Make sure you have an updated Ghana visa and things like that. And, that's the basics from there on. But it's unfortunate that you have to go through all this hassle to return to your motherland. But that's the purpose and the reason why we're setting up shop and operation there. That way we can just be there and settled, and we don't have to do all this going back and forth and having to deal with these crazy airport requirements.
Okay. I got you, bro. All right, I'll go to your website and take a look.
Please do, Ralph. Please do, my brother. It's well worth it, man.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, brother. That's my good
Absolutely.
Brother.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, brother.
Yep. He's a good dude. Good man. Brother Ralph. Yeah. We're winding down. We only got a couple of minutes left, Brother Bomani. Just, wrap us up here, man. Let us know all the things that we need to do. And I'm so proud of you, man. I really am, for all that you have done and continue to do to help our people go home, and to help our people understand how important it is that we work together and spend our money with one another. So, any closing remarks, my brother?
Yes, the only closing remarks I have for folks, family, visit our website, africafortheafricans.org, and check out all the details that we have. All of the information is loaded on our main menu. So information for the land, information for the tours, our tour books, our newsletters, other supporting details, and so on. It's all there. It's a lot of information, but also we're just presenting all of our details up front so you can be clear. Then once you finish checking out information and you want to reach out to me, you can just reach out to me, and just, you have contact numbers there and everything. You have a WhatsApp link. Reach out to me, and we'll talk and go through the information, and then we get you set up. So that's as simple as I try to make it, and everything in between from there on that you need, flight itinerary, visa details, help with anything, we work on and help you with everything. And the same thing for the land. Whatever you're not clear on, you want to be educated on how things work in Ghana as far as law and things like that, be on all of the videos that we have. I'll spend time and talk with you and get you prepared, because that's what we're looking to do, family, getting you prepared for repatriation and investing in Africa.
All right, thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. Brothers
Absolutely.
And sisters. All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Be safe, family. Peace.